Blog Talk Radio.
Get with this, get with this, get with this, cause you got no choice. Rappers sometimes you find make dough, but yo, you know they got no voice. Get him off the podium, he ain't no speaker, yes, he's just a phony, and look at his sneakers, played out, out of style, out of rhymes. He's out his mind, lost his way, lost his pay. I'm taking his props, so call the cops. You can call them, but I know them. Sweet MCs, I think are home. Cause they front so very hard. And big or small, I'll break them all. Ain't gotta say that I'm the best. My skills will show I pass the test. And when it comes to beats and rhymes, we come correctly every time. And stay tuned. Like the CNN, yes, I can take you there and then. The rest is up to you to choose. The bottom line is win or lose. Suckers, 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 don't be listening, so I can't be waiting on them. I ain't got no time to play to you. Look at the state of things and tell me true. In the city, any city, life's a paradox of good and evil. Many fall into the vicious cycle, living by the gun or by the rifle. They think they got a reason, they ain't really sure. The death toll rises more. It's trite, the way some live life. I love rap, I like the city. But for a fool, I have no pity. There's too much suffering, too much struggle, too much injustice, and don't it bug you. Enough for you to press on harder against the odds, the way our forefathers made a way. But foolishly, we go astray. Think about it. To do is lay back smooth as my vocals complement the slow back groove. Just for you to blast around the way, play it nice and loud and hear me say, Gangstar is hitting 92 and on, showing how to make a dope rap song. Doing this while some disperse, then dissolve like specks of dirt. Our music pertains to those who remain down with the real, not one for the fame. Peace out, we'll be back.
Upspoke Radio, what's going on, Player P?
What's up, what's up, what's up? It's just popping smoke.
Ain't shit. Another one, doing another one. That's all, you know what it is. You know what I mean? Did you listen to your show yet?
I listened to it. I didn't do what I need to do with it, but I have listened to it.
Okay, cool. Because we want everybody to know out there that we got a Paul's Take coming out here shortly. You know what I'm saying? He's riding shotgun by himself. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's up with that. We want to go ahead and let's see here. Let's go ahead and where's my clips at? Go ahead and look a shot for Player P. You know what I mean?
Yeah, baby.
You actually heard the clip with Chocolate Thunder, though, right?
Say what?
You heard the clip with the Chocolate Thunder episode, right?
No, I didn't listen to that one. I didn't get to listen to that one.
The one I tagged you on the Facebook in.
Yeah, I listened to the one of the solo something I did. I didn't listen to Chocolate Thunder. I need to listen to that.
That's the one I tagged you in. That's the one I tagged you in.
Yeah, I didn't listen. I didn't get a chance to listen to that one yet.
Hey, man, let me ask you a question. You familiar with the whole Rick Ross thing? I know you be watching stuff like that. You're on stuff like that. You've been following up on the Rick Ross situation?
You mean about him going to the hospital?
Mm-hmm.
I heard about it. I didn't delve into it a whole lot, but you know, I heard a little bit about it. I heard 50 was clowning him about it or something. Something stupid.
Yeah, that's what 50's the ultimate troll, you know what I'm saying? You know how he gets down. He's always going to go ahead and, you know.
Curtis can't help but me. Curtis got to do Curtis.
Yeah, he's always going to do his thing. My whole thing about it is this. I want to ask you a question. I want to run this across you. Is hip-hop becoming a drug culture now? You see,
becoming
like
a what culture?
A drug culture.
Becoming a what culture? Did you say drug?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, because, and I'm doing so, it's taking the fun out of it. You know what I mean? I mean, back in the day and stuff, even though you had some folks that might have been on that vibe, you still have folks that were still at the beach vibe, at the house party vibe. You still had that vibe. And you had the drug vibe. You know what I mean, you had people that went in, you know what I mean, but it wasn't as dominant as it is today. The majority of the, you know, 75% of hip-hop you hear, that's all you hear. You know,
yeah.
Violence, women, and drugs.
Yeah, because my thing is this. You come from an era where you've seen it actually was created. I'm pretty much the 80s baby hip-hop guy. You know what I'm saying? That was my era of when it came in. And I don't remember since the beginning until now, since so many references of people doing drugs. Like, you would get your white lines from Grandmaster Flash and them. You know, you would get a reference for smoking. But it wasn't as prominent as it is. And I mean, even the names back then, excuse me, like Curtis Blow,
Fat Boy,
Starsky. I mean, excuse me, just
Fat
the names.
Boy. Yeah, Biz
Markie. But the names reference drugs, Curtis Blow. You know what I'm saying? Love Bug.
You don't hear, dog. Their names today don't stand out like they did back then.
But let's not get off of task real quick. I'm going to let you bring that up here in a second. And you feel as though it is going into it because, again, you was at the beginning of it where you seen it happen. You understand what I'm saying? So
this will give you it. In the beginning, you had basketball. You know what I mean? Something simple. And now you got Migos, stir fry.
Yes, I mean, I'm not talking about the content. I'm talking about the references to drugs.
You said what? You're talking about the content. You're talking about the what?
Yeah, I'm saying the references to drugs. Is hip-hop a drug culture now? The simple fact that
you
haven't heard any references to drugs in the earlier stages of hip-hop.
Yeah, you have more now than you ever did. Yes.
So, you know, with the seizures, and you hear all these people having seizures from doing lean and this type of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, this actually a song with a hook is Percocet, Molly Percocet. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you're right.
That's a chorus. That's a chorus to a song.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is, like, the references to it, to the drugs, like I said, you would probably back in the day hear somebody talk about a blunt every now and then. Or I think that really when Dr. Dre came out with the Chronic, that's when it was kind of just like in your face. Or Cypress Hill.
Even Violent Thug came out, they were coming straight from first set of my.
Yeah, but they like all these albums predate Bone Thug, so there's no need to even bring them up in the conversation. You know what I mean?
But you know,
all these albums.
Yeah, because they didn't. I saw you. Cause that didn't really. You'd have had to knew what that lingo was for you to follow that.
Yes.
So I saw you. Yeah, I saw you. You're right.
Thugs are part of the influence.
Hey, is your phone like reverberating when you talk?
That's just me moving around.
When I hear you and stuff. No, not really.
Hold on.
Say something.
How about this? Am I better now?
A little clear.
Hold on.
Still reverbing a little bit.
Let me turn my mic off. Let me check this out real quick. Let me try to switch up real quick. But I don't even think these are going to do the job. Hold tight. Yo.
That sounds better.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't really hear you, though. Let me see something real quick.
You did sound clear, and now you fade back to black.
I can't hear you because you still got me using my headset. So, you know, when I can't really hear you.
I'm here.
If you have anything you want to bring up real quick.
Just that you do see the progression as far as, like you said, especially when your chorus and, you know, is focused on the drug content, like you stated. You know, it seems like the culture is saturated, and not even so. I mean, it's not even just hip hop. It seems like music in and of itself. You know, the one thing I see is stuff. I don't see anybody aspiring for a better and brighter day. I don't hear that anymore. You know, you used to have songs. You even just in R&B had songs like "Hot Bun in the Summer Time." You know what I mean? They don't even think, which is, Prince did that. Will Smith had a little, you know, when he did that Summertime, when he did what he did, that was hype. But you don't even see that as much anymore. You know, people on that vibe. And there's, who is it? 2 Chainz, I think, has a song out, That Vibe. That's a vibe. That's a nice song.
I have to check out my mic
because it just keep on flowing. That it's a vibe. 2 Chainz is tight. I like it. And I know for the audience that may be listening, I may not be pronouncing her name correctly. Jhené Aquina. She's excellent. She has a beautiful voice. I like her flow. So there are some people in the genre that are, you know, that, you know, have, you know, are trying to stay in that vibe. You know, there's, I can't say the whole genre has just turned to just being co. There are some people that are actually putting some really good work in, you know. A lot of it, sometimes we don't hear as well because if the company doesn't feel it's commercial enough, they may not, you know, they might not put it out there, so to speak. That happens a lot too. But there is some good music out there still. And as much as I like hip hop, yeah.
Okay, keep going. I
was going to say, as much as I like hip-hop and stuff, I wish rock would get a shot in the arm. It don't seem like there's been anybody standing front and center when it comes to rock like they had people back in the day. I wasn't a Bruce Springsteen fan, but the dude, you know, he's still, you know, he still got audiences. You know, I don't know. I don't even know who's big in the genre now in hip and rock. And you got so many different people, I guess. I like Linkin Park.
I got this. You know what I mean? From they was talking about it on Everyday Struggle, Complex News, right? Is the King of New York relevant these days? Remember back in the day when, you know, Jay-Z and Nas, is there a King of New York today? Do you think?
I think it's relevant today if they have a King of New York and all that?
Yeah.
Well, you know who said he was wearing a crown, don't you?
We can say he's just showing.
Being he on the West Coast, he can't claim the West and East Coast. He can't claim both coasts.
Yeah, Kendrick, what are you talking about?
Okay. Yeah, I forget what song that was where he came and just beat everybody. He was just beat him like a slave. He came and just beat him. It's not a Kendrick. Why you do that, dog? He just came out on dudes and was just slashing them, remember?
And he was talking to his contemporaries. Yes, he was talking to his contemporaries saying that, hey, you guys basically like you guys are good. I like your style, but I'm trying to be better than you. I mean, I don't really take it as a diss. He didn't say like fuck y'all. It was just like, hey, I'm gonna let y'all know.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, he was still was selling with them same cats at the end of the day. It was just goodness.
I think the only person that really took it too far was Fat Poos. You know what I'm saying? Now, Fat Poos.
Who?
Fat Poos.
I didn't hear you. I still didn't hear
Fat
you.
Fat Poos.
Fat Poos?
Yeah.
He took it hard?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
He kind of went in.
Yeah, but I don't blame him because Papoose is like, and I'm representing the East, you on the West.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to step up, I'm stepping up.
Yeah,
I don't blame Papoose for stepping up.
Yeah.
But we still got a problem with communication, dog. You don't sound, I can't understand you. Say again?
Is this better?
This sounds better. I'll tell you more when we'll be in a conversation. Because before you be sounding better, this starts to go down.
How about this?
You sound good now.
Okay. Yeah. But Fat Poos, so, you know, actually, now that I'm there, are you familiar with Jonah Lucas?
Hey. I don't know. Is this your mics or something? Something wrong with the mics?
I said, are you familiar with a rapper named Jonah Lucas?
I can't hear you or understand what you're saying anyway. I'm here.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I said, are you familiar with a rapper named Jonah Lucas?
Jonah Lucas?
Joyner Lucas. Well, he put out this song called I'm Not a Racist. It has the internet kind of buzzing. I want you to, because basically he's coming from a black and white perspective. You know what I mean? And people are saying that this song is doing a lot for race relations with black and white people. And it comes from a hip-hop perspective. Jonah Lucas is an up-and-coming artist in New York City. You know what I mean? He's pretty much, you know what I mean? He has a joint record right now, or album right now, coming out with Chris Brown. So he's pretty much like the new up-and-coming guy. You hear me?
Yeah, I did.
So I'm gonna play this song, right?
Yeah.
And I want your opinion on it, your hot take, because basically he's telling a story. I think the verse opens up as a white person. The song is called, oh, by the way, the song is called "I'm Not a Racist." You know what I'm saying? So he kind of opens up with the, you know, he's talking from a white person's perspective. Then they're kind of like going back and forth, you know what I mean? So I'm going to play the record, and I want to see what you think about it.
With all due respect, I don't have pity for you black niggas. That's the way I feel. Screaming Black Lives Matter, all the black guys rather be deadbeats than pay your bills. Yelling nigga this and nigga that. Call everybody nigga and get a nigga mad. As soon as I say nigga, then everyone react and wanna swing at me and call me racist cause I ain't black. Pound that then. Talking about slavery like you was around back then. Like you was picking cotton off the fucking ground back then. Like you was on the plantation getting down back then. Alright. Look. I see a black man aiming his gun. But I'd rather see a black man claiming his son. And I don't mean just for one day and you done. I mean, you still trapped in a rut. And I work my ass off and pay my taxes for what? So you can keep living off free government assistance, food stamps for your children, but you still trying to sell them for some weed and some liquor or a fucking babysitter while you party on the road because you ain't got no fucking goals? You already late. You motherfuckers need to get your damn priorities straight. Wait. It's like you're proud to be fake, but you lazy as fuck. And you rather sell drugs than get a job and be straight. And then you turn around and complain about the poverty rate. Fuck out of my face. You can't escape problems. You can pray for some change, but can't break a dollar. Got nobody else to blame, so you blame Donald. They fucked the world with a Make America Great condom. My boy's been back. I'm not racist. My sister's boyfriend's black. I'm not racist. My sister-in-law's baby cousin Tracy got a brother and his girlfriend's black. My head's in the clouds. Heard there's not enough jobs for all the men in your house. Maybe we should build a wall to keep the Mexicans out. Or maybe we should send them all to the ghetto for now. I'm not racist. And I never lie, but I think there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. I worship the Einsteins, study the Steve Jobs, but you ride Tupac's dick like he was a fucking god. Oh my god. And all you care about is rapping and stunting and being ratchet. And that's the nigga within you. Music rot in your brain and slowly start to convince you. Then you let your kids listen and then the cycle continues. Blame it all on the menu. Blame it on those drinks. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on white privileges. Blame it on white kids. And just blame it on white citizens. Aim it the vice president. Watch your class clown. Niggas kneeling on the field. That's a flag down. How dare you try to make demands for this money? You gonna show us some respect. You gonna stand for this country, nigga. I'm not racist. I'm just prepared for this type of war. I heard Eminem's rap at the awards. Who's he fighting for? Y'all can take that motherfucker too. He ain't white no more. Just like you want to be so famous. You'll do anything for attention and a little payment.
I can't take you nowhere without people pointing fingers. Pants hanging off your ass, you ain't got no home training. Put your fucking pants up, nigga. Put that suit back on, take that durag off. Take that gold out your mouth, quit the pitiful stuff. And then maybe police will stop killing you fucks. So what the fuck? I'm not racist. It's like we're living in the same building but split into two floors. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story. I wish that I knew yours. I wish that I knew yours. I'm not racist. I swear. With all disrespect, I don't really like you white motherfuckers. That's just where I'm at. Screaming all lives matter is a protest to my protest. What kind of shit is that? And that's one war you'll never win. The power in the word nigga is a different sin. We shouldn't say it, but we do, and that's just what it is. But that don't mean that you can say it just because you got nigga friends. Nigga. That word was originated for you to keep us under. That when we use it, we know that's just how we greet each other. And when you use it, we know there's a double meaning under. And even if I wasn't picking cotton physically, that don't mean I'm not infected by the history. My grandmama was a slave. That shit gets to me, and you ain't got no motherfucking sympathy, you pussy nigga. I'm sorry, you can never fail my life. Trying to have faith, but I never feel alright. It's hard to elevate when this country's ran by whites, judging me by my skin color and my blackness. Trying to find a job, but ain't nobody call me back yet. Now I gotta sell drugs and put food in my cabinet. You crackers ain't slick, this is all a part of your tactics. Don't talk about no motherfucking taxes when I ain't making no dough. You think you know everything, but you don't. You wanna copy our slang and everything that we know. Try to steal black culture and make it your own. Whoa. Fuck, I'm exhausted. I can't even drive without the cops trying to start shit. I'm tired of this systematic racism bullshit. All you do is false shit. This is shit that I'm false with. And you don't know shit about my people. That's what bothers you. You don't know about no fried chicken or no barbecue. You don't know about the two-step or no loose change. You don't know about no two chains or no Kool-Aid. You don't know. And even though Barack was half as black, you hated President Obama. I know that's a fact. You can't wait to get him out and put a cracker back. And then you gave us Donald Trump, and that was payback for that. I'm not racist. I never lied, but I know there's a disconnect between your culture and mine. Yeah, I praise Tupac like he was a fucking god. He was fighting for his life way before he fucking died. Nigga, die, nigga. And all you care about is money and power and being ugly. And that's the cracker within you. Hatred all in your brain that slowly starts to convince you. Then you teach it to your children until the cycle continues. Blame it on Puerto Rico. Blame it on OJ. Blame it on everybody except for your own race. Blame it on black niggas and blame it on black citizens. Aim at the black businesses. I ain't saying I'm innocent, but I might be any day now, treating everybody how you want in any way how. I swear North Korea about to bomb us any day now. And now I'm ducking every time I hear a fucking plane now. Shit. You know I make a lot of sense, but you just can't admit it. When Eminem went against Trump, that was the illest. Cause even though he's white, he let us know he's standing with us. I'm not racist, but I cry a lot. You don't know what it's like to be in a frying pot. You don't know what it's like to mind your business and get stopped by the cops. And I know if you about to die or not. You worry about your life, so you take mine. I love you, but I fucking hate you at the same time. I wish we could trade shoes, or we could change lives, so we can understand each other more, but that'll take time. I'm not racist. It's like we living in the same building, but split into both sides. I'm not racist. But there's two sides to every story, and now you know mine. Can't erase the scars with a bandage. Hoping maybe we can come to an understanding. Agree to disagree, you can have an understanding. I'm not racist.
Up and Smoke Radio, we're back. What you think, Player P? Give me your hot take, man. Give me your hot take, man. Was it a powerful song or what?
Yeah. I felt it. You know what I mean? Because at first when you came and said, I'm not racist, and I had to think about it for a minute, but in the context of when he uses it, you know what I mean? Like, that's like how Trump, how you doing all these things, but you're not racist, really. I feel it.
He's coming from a white perspective of the first verse, and the second verse was a black person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah,
kind of creative.
That song's deep.
Kind of creative, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, we need, and again, we were just talking about there's no more songs like that. It's on the front line. This is kind of like an internet song that's blowing up, and you're a guy that knows more than I think you, I would like to say at this point that you follow hip hop more than me. Like, you'll bring up artists that I've never heard of. You know what I'm saying? And it's because you're, you know, from your internet thing. And again, this is something you should, these links, you should be sharing it in your group. Remember your group you started on Facebook and all that? You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
But this is a song that needed to be said, but there was, I can't say a naysayers, you know what I'm saying? But there were some people that said, it kind of set it back a second. You know what I'm saying? There's a brother out of Philly and said basically, and he made a lot of sense too, and I want you to hear his side of it, you know what I'm saying? Because the whole thing about it is we like songs like that, but it opens up our eyes and certain people. And again, this guy, the song got 50 million views on YouTube. You know what I'm saying? So it's, at, you know, I mean, it's definitely, and you can see people are kind of calling him the Black Eminem because you can kind of tell the cadence and how he's telling stories and stuff. I mean, he has a song, you know what I mean, where he says, like, this guy is doing things. I got on him because he's a song where he basically spits a verse, right, and takes the verse and raps it backwards, all rhymes. I've never seen nobody doing that. You know what I mean? Like, he'll take, he took a verse and he said, like, you know, take it and go backwards with it. It was incredible. Plus, I never seen it, but I need you to hear this clip, and then now you heard the song, you took it all in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's check this out, and we'll just kick it on a back and forth tip and see how the brother's talking, okay? And this is the brother Aaron X out of Philadelphia.
You have pushed the conversation. You have pushed the conversation backwards. Now we are in a place where we have crucified and sacrificed racial progress on the altar of white fragility. Cha-cha, she don't feel it's the rapping professor. Nobody do it better down for whatever. Temple University's own Temple made. We the champs, baby. Y'all know what it is. Salute to Ebro. Ebro in the morning, hot 97. Somebody finally pressed the ball, joined the Lucas, the Joy the Luck Club, and got some of the answers that people like me have been trying to get. You know, we want to know how he identifies, you know? We want to know about his relationship with his father, but at least Ebro touched on the surface of things, man. Let's go.
And then there's the second layer of people who then discovered that, oh, okay, this is a concept video.
Yeah.
They got through the whole thing, listened to the second verse.
Mm-hmm.
And then had critiques on it not being thorough enough from the Black perspective. What do you say? What is your response to that?
My response to that is, I can't make everybody happy.
You're right. You can't please everybody, because that was one of my issues. I thought that you were kind of watering down the Black man's verse. I thought that you really weren't repping us the right way. It seemed like it was slanted to the advantage of the white perspective. And I was like, hey, what's good, brother?
You know, that was calculated as well. There would have been no resolution if I would have went as hard, pause, you know, with the Black cat, you know, as a white man.
So you admit it. There you go. All the people in the comments talking about he didn't have enough time and how you gonna come at him. He might not know all the facts, but they didn't hear other songs like his America Joint and, you know, songs where he actually displayed the fact that he had a better understanding of systemic oppression. He made a calculated decision.
That was calculated as well.
I think the word ploy might fit here. He made a calculated decision to make something more appealing to the mainstream. Problematic.
dangerous. I felt like I wanted to create a resolution.
Let's be clear. You create resolutions through truth, through honesty, through confronting issues head on. Not through sweeping things under the rug, not pretending problems don't exist, not through diving headlong into a matrix of delusion and illusion and pretending that problems aren't problems so that you can rub nipples with some hillbilly at the end of a video. That is not progress. That is propaganda.
So I let this white man do his thing. I let him speak. But if I would have just straight up just bashed the shit out of him like people wanted me to, then I feel like, you know, I would have been, you know, added to the problem.
You got a point there. You can't serve two masters, and it's hard to play both sides. This is getting interesting.
And I would have felt like there would have been no resolution. There would have been no hug at the end of the video.
Get out of here, man.
So because I was writing it, I knew how I wanted to end it, and I knew that I needed the, you know, the black hat to kind of, you know, be the one to rationalize.
Rationalize or bow down? Rationalize or compromise? Rationalize or please, master, just like my song, I won't get you mad with this next verse. I'm going to let you go all the way in. You want to feel vicariously uplifted like when you was watching Monsters Ball. This is going to be beautiful for you. You're going to feel so good and you won't feel guilty at all. I won't talk about any historical significant topics. I'm just going to talk about fried chicken and Kool-Aid and watermelon and 2 Chainz and 2 Step. And you better stop with that dangerous nonsense.
You know, be the one to rationalize and come.
See, and I took it personally.
So did I, Ebro. So did I.
There's a lot of reasons why I created it. And again, I couldn't, you know, I can't please everybody. I only wanted to create a resolution where there was peace in the end. And in order to do that, I had to kind of make the black dude, because he went second. I kind of had to make him just, you know, be a little bit more rational and come down.
Newsflash, we tired of compromises. 3/5 compromise. Hayes Tilden, compromise. Post-racial, compromise, voting rights act, dangerous.
I kind of had to make him just, you know, be a little bit more rational and come down and kind of...
We not feeling you.
Get this man to
Isn't
understand.
Isn't that what black people always end up doing? Aren't we always the ones that have to take the high road? Aren't we always the ones that's like, yo, don't escalate this anymore? You know, we got to come to some sort of resolution. Isn't that always historically?
No. I don't think that's always.
It's what it feels like. It always feels like we're the ones that, you know, let's find a resolution.
But
let's work this out. Let's take the high road.
Is that a bad thing, though?
You call logic corny?
Why is it always our responsibility as the oppressed, as the people brought here to do free labor and make a wealthy country, the ones who have to figure out solutions? Meanwhile, those in power and those with the power and those that control the education system and control the media and the conversation don't feel like it's on them.
I could have made this record 25-30 minutes long.
And it just would have been a half hour dislocated nonsense. You're missing a point, man. We're not critiquing the length of the song.
Again, back to the I'm Not Racist video, I knew that the ending was unrealistic, and I knew that the record is a little bit unrealistic, but it's the hard truth.
We don't need any more unrealistic hard truths, like post-racial. No, we don't need any more delusion or illusion of progress or inclusion. That's an intrusion. What is you doing? Dangerous. Too dangerous. Whoa, we don't need it. Go back to talking about how you didn't want your son or you cursing the baby out in the video like you did.
Don't you stare me down, you know I'm rude. Why the fuck you looking at me like you so confused? You really make me sick, my nigga, if you only knew. I swear to God, I wish you wasn't born and it was no excuse. I don't want to raise you.
Or go back to when you had the video with the candles and the pentagrams talking about selling your soul.
I try to play the lottery. Maybe I can hit the Powerball. Cop 50 fly cars and then drive them all just so I can feel like a rich nigga got it all. This nigga got it all. But you ain't shit.
Nope.
And these bras ain't loyal.
Yeah.
Hoes won't relate, but these songs ain't for you. And the game ain't the same, so along came Jonah.
All your supporters and your racial advocates didn't know about this.
Like, I'm the best thing you heard, bitch. Don't lie to me. Don't you lie to me.
Don't you lie to me.
I'm standing around like you don't get the fucking picture. Let me paint it for you.
Let me paint it.
I ain't playing with you.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the Illuminati just so I can get a check. Here's my soul. Let me trade it to you.
Well, we did research, right? In the words of Cameron, we got some dirt on you, doggy.
I got dirt on you, doggy.
So just go do you and stay in your lane, and we're going to stay in our lane.
That's my depiction on how I see the world and how I wish the world would be. Very unrealistic. Again, I understand that, but...
No. Ain't no but. Family, we gotta be very careful about anyone who will water down black pain simply to ensure white comfort. Those days is done. The way the Geechee is gone, boy. And you gone with it. Right? Books and bars. That's what we do all day. So, rap professor, nobody do it better. I'll let you. Boy, he proved me right. Let the evidence show.
Well, you're looking, you're looking
I got
thermal
on you, doggy.
Camera,
I'm going to get at you in a minute.
What you think, P? Does the guy have a point?
Yeah. What person is, because you know me, and I'm going to take the high road, because I'm like the people that keep on saying, you know, well, is it conforming or is it bound down? You know what I mean? So I'm like, I don't believe it was bound down. I believe it was just two sides of an issue.
I mean, I wish you could see the, well, not wish, but I would like for you to see the video, because it all ends up at the end of them hugging, because it's like a face to face. I wish I could explain to you and the listeners out there, if you know, love you hear this, like,
but
it's like they're sitting,
you know,
at a, hold on, they're sitting at a table, and the white racist is talking to the black dude, and they're just like at a table going back and forth. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And maybe seeing it might put another perspective for me on it. But at the same token, I was watching this YouTube thing. I was saying African Americans are the Negro race in and of itself are a true Hebrew race. And I believe that that's the reason why. This was a white dude that had done this research. This was a white dude that was making a report stating that he's not the only one. You know, he's stating that blacks are the true, you know, or some true lost tribes. You know. Especially those that, you know, in America, that's why you see the oppression that's on us. You know, it's because of this, it's a spiritual thing. It's not just a, and that's tied into economics and all that.
What do you think that energy comes from? Okay, if we all can agree, right? Hold on. I said, what do you think that energy comes from? Right? We all can agree, and I mean, it's been said, and it's been confirmed by a white guy that, you know, basically the original track, the original 12 tribes are all black men, or a black society. And is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was
saying. So we can all agree that Africa is the cradle of civilization, right?
Correct.
Okay, so at the end of the day, why do you think people from other races try to steal the black man's history? I mean, I always looked at this, right? And just look
because
where I'm coming from. Hold on. Look where I'm coming from. I'm going to ask you. Because if I'm number one, right, if I'm supposed to be number one, I'm not worried about number two. You know what I mean? I'm not worried about it. I'm better than number two. It's been proven that I'm better than number two. And, I mean, I'm sure that you're a guy that doesn't subscribe to bullying. Okay? So if I'm number one, number two is obviously I'm superior than number two. Would you agree with that? Because I'm number one.
But when you say you're number one, what is it that you're standing on?
Oh, okay.
Foundation.
Just walk with me on this. Just say if I'm just okay, swimming. I'm the number one swimmer in the world. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Okay. So why would I be worried about number two, right? Unless,
okay.
Unless number two would be a threat to me, right?
Yeah.
So again, so let's connect it with what you were saying about the 12 tribes and all this. If people of Caucasian people were supposed to be the dominant society, why do certain sects have to mess with number two, which has got to be us, right, according to them, right? Like, and they take movies and put a white face on our history. Why do you think they would do such a thing like that if they're supposed to be number one and we're number two?
Why would they put a white face on black history?
Yes, because, again, because the consensus is white people are the most dominant people. The majority, and we're the minority.
Majority, that's
right?
Just because they're the majority who make them dominant.
I'm just saying, can you just stick with my narrative here and say, if they had so much history, why did we have to put white faces on black people's history?
Black people have a colorful history, you know? Look at Elvis and using, you know, he took his style and, you know, took some black R&B and put it in his style. Jerry Lewis and all of them, they did the same. You know, they heard the blues and they incorporated
it
in their style.
No, they didn't incorporate it. They stole.
They took it.
Yeah, they stole.
Yeah. But see, you say that stole. And that's like saying, wait a minute. That's like saying me picking up a guitar, playing the guitar, you know, down here in the community room where I live, playing the guitar, and then somebody else picking up a guitar, and I'm playing it, and, you know, and doing the same thing I'm doing. Can I say they stole? Idea from me?
That's really a bad analogy because Elvis, the song Hound Dog, he literally stole, you know what I'm saying, from Mama Thornton.
From Little Richard.
From Mama Thornton.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that.
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
You know, he actually stole the song. Let me hit my Google machine. I think Mama Thornton's song came out in the 1960s. Elvis' song, Little Richard's, didn't come up until the 19th. Oh, actually, they both stole off of Little Richard then. Because now I'm on a page. Little Richard's came out in 1953. Big Mama Thornton's came out in 1963. Elvis's came out in 1969. But that's not a remix. That's stealing. You took the whole song and stole. Now, if you look at the sister, Big Mama Thornton, she's probably putting a woman spin on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, you stole it. Word for word.
And don't even give no credit.
I mean, that's what they would do back then. Because, you know, if you ever seen the movie Cadillac Records, you would see what they would do to Muddy Waters and all them. What Kid Rock did, what's that song? Yeah, I mean, they just took songs from the... What they did was just take songs, you know what I mean? Like, Little Richard was the creator of rock and roll.
Because they would tell the artist, no, you don't sound right. This ain't your sound. Even though he wrote it, maybe that won't give it to somebody else.
But that's when racism and stuff was going back then. So they didn't have a voice to say, yo, this guy stole my song. You know what I mean? The people knew that, you know, like these people stole their songs. And if this guy was the king of rock and roll, why would he have to steal songs? And I might use this segue because I might have to put somebody on a coon train. Are you familiar with Jesse Lee Peterson?
Say again?
Jesse Lee Peterson.
Who is that?
Well, he's a news guy. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And, he's a news guy. He has his own show. And, Paul, I would think that you would know people like this. Jesse Lee Petersons. What's the other guy's name that wears the ascot? Roland Martin. All these guys you should know because they're conservative, Alex Jones type of people. But this guy got on the show, actually, and this guy has a voice, you know what I mean? Actually, I'll pull him up on Wikipedia, you know what I mean? And I'll tell you the type of person he is. Because he has his own show, he has a voice. He has a voice, for sure. On Wikipedia. Jesse Lee Peterson. Okay. Jesse Lee Peterson is an American activist, author, and media personality. He is president and founder of BOND, which is an acronym, Brotherhood Organization of New Destiny, an American religious nonprofit, 501c3, organization dedicated rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. He is the host of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, a national radio show, which airs on Newsmax TV and Fallen State TV, and it's a web series. I want you to hear what he said, Paul, and I want to get your take on this. And because this guy has a voice, he has close to 20 million listeners, 50 million listeners, 20 to 50 million listeners. So he has a voice. He's debated with Sean Hannity a couple times. So he has a voice. You know what I mean? So I want you to listen to this clip. I want you to listen to this clip. 2 minute clip.
You're breaking up.
Okay. 2 minute clip. Don't matter because the clip's coming on right now. Is that fine? You hear me now?
Yeah.
2 minute clip. We're going to mute mics.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who are here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestor way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain, something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Yes, sir. What's your take on it, brother? Because I'm on some shit like not funny. You know what I mean?
No.
No. No. But I don't really have a take on it, vote for real.
Are you a loss for words? Are you a loss for words?
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you get that stuff, man? YouTube?
I mean, he has a show. I mean, it has a national show. It just is not stuff, not YouTube stuff that, and I think that when you said YouTube, you kind of downplayed what people are doing. It's almost like downplaying what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody can snatch a clip off of our show and say, hey, where do you get this stuff at? It sounds insane. You know what I'm saying? But it's the truth. This guy has a show, and
yeah,
this is how he feels.
Mm.
And he has a lot of listeners. You know what I mean? He's no troll. He has a lot of listeners. He's right there with your boy Jones.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yes. So again, just give me a real quick take on it. What do you feel? Do you feel as though that, not saying his take, that you feel as though being in slavery was a good thing?
That I think, I'm not going to say it was a bad thing, because it could be, because for a lot of people, there's some things that people consider evil, but they're necessary. You know, some kind of extermination.
The necessary evil angle.
Yeah. Yeah, I am, because, I mean, look, you know what, I also look at it, I mean, I can go two ways, because you got, you know, it's like he was trying to say, you know, well, look at the state of Africa. Well, if slavery didn't happen and we stayed there and British colonies and stuff had came there, who's to say that we wouldn't have been able to make Africa flourish? You know, if we had stayed there and used our intellect there. But being that the majority of it left Africa, and then those that have remained have been in constant states of warfare, you know. I mean, you have thriving, cities in Africa. You know, you do. By the same token, there's, like, AIDS is really bad over in South Africa. You know, so you got a lot of, you know, there's a lot to be desired to live in Africa as well. There's a lot of disease, you know, only because they haven't had the same scientific, you know, things that we take for granted here. Money's not large down there. More controlled there than it is here.
Didn't get you?
So, I mean, slavery, I mean, if it didn't happen, stuff, maybe we wouldn't have ended up here. You know, but who's to say that that might have been a better deal? Who's to say? I can't say. All I can say is this. God didn't have it like that. And God don't make no mistakes. He don't make no mistakes. So but he allowed it to happen, and allowed it to happen for a reason. I mean, look, we have millions of us that got killed on the way, but he gave up his one and only son willingly. So sometimes it takes that, you know, for the cream to rise to the top. Sometimes that's what it takes.
Because my thing about it is, can you praise your oppressor?
How can you praise your oppressor?
Yes, because
I mean, in the Bible it says that the slave should submit to his master. But it also says that a master is not supposed to treat his slave cruelly either. So they're both, you know, if a slave doesn't submit to its master and a master treats the slave cruelly, they're both doing something wrong.
So you agree with him then? You're saying that it was, you know, thanks for slavery, and it's all right that we was, you know, our ancestors pretty much built this country for free, but thanks for being over here because at least we're not in Africa around all that aid. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm looking at it on a higher level than what he's looking at. I'm looking at it as God's will. Because God only allows Satan to do what Satan, he only allows him to do what he wants him to do. So whether it was to murder of millions
So was God's will for us to be in slavery? I mean, for our ancestors to be in slavery?
Just like it was for those Jews to be killed in the Holocaust, that was our Holocaust. And just
that was
like,
God's will.
Huh?
That was God's will.
At that time.
For us to be in slavery.
At that time.
Why?
I can't say what his purposes were. Only God knows the reason why he does what he does.
Now, you can say that we were our ancestors, our ancestors are quote-unquote heathens and didn't worship Jesus, okay? But once our ancestors got over here, they beat our religion and those ancient religions we used to worship, and we started like kind of worshiping the white Jesus. So therefore, why after worshiping white Jesus or Jesus period, whatever, why did we continue to go through everything that we went through? Because we converted. We did everything. We did everything the missionaries told us. We converted. We, you know what I mean? We were good slaves, all that. Why didn't Jesus just say, okay, we converted them from that Egyptian stuff, or even all the other principles, because you can't even call them principles. I mean, religions, they were just principles. You know, the voodoo, all the other stuff that we practiced in Africa, our ancestors. We converted. Why didn't Jesus just stop it? I'm not trying to do a thing. And why didn't this just stop? What did we go through so much that we deserve that?
Our reward is not down here. It's not in this life that we're going to get the reward. It's not in this life. It's after this life. The reward, I mean, Jesus even said that. He was like, he's going to come back for his, but in the meanwhile, if you leave before he comes back, your reward is not here. And those that know him know that. And this thing about him being white or black is not really an issue for people that know Jesus. It doesn't matter if, I mean, the people that truly know that he was black. And the disciples were black. But, you know, people want to run around and be caught up on whether he's black or white. That's on them. It don't matter if he's black or white. He got the power that he got, regardless of what color he is. Color is just a tool that those in power use to divide. Just like they use economics, just like they use handicap or non-handicap, they'll always try to have a method of division, always. That's the tool, that's the tactic of the adversary. That's his number one tool, is division. He uses it really well. Because we let him. It'd be our egos. For real. It's deep when you really look at it. But I do believe that. I believe that it was God's will, because who knows what would have happened. You know, but if we had stayed, if it was God's will that we stayed in Africa, I bet it would have been a powerful nation. We probably just as powerful as America if we had stayed. But who knows how truly powerful it is over there. We only know on the surface what we see. I mean, Saudi Arabia, no, I think they got some stuff down in that desert. I do. Iraq, they're building up.
On that note, you have the last word on that note right there. I want to kind of change up the subject. You have the last word. I mean, I do not want to have Bible talk with you, because then you have your beliefs and I have my beliefs. But as far as
I ain't gonna be Bible talk.
But as far as Jesse Lee Peterson, I have to play a song for him.
Cool is coming. What about black on black crime? Cool is coming. Where's the white women at? Cool is coming. All white people ain't bad.
And that's right, Jesse.
We is our own worst enemy. What about black on black crime? Where's the white women at?
I just put him on a train real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Or.
I just had to put him on a train. I don't know anybody that's going to co-sign it, any type of thing like that. And I just didn't like the way he flowed with it. I'm sorry. But back to the news. You know what I'm saying? I definitely got something. Because we was going to have a show, let me see if I can find the clip. But, I'm just not rocking with the whole, you know, it was a favor thing. I'm sorry, I don't want to get into it, but I don't think it was a blessing at all. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think it was a blessing at all. I mean, I hear where you're coming from, but I mean, let that be a choice. Like, see, when white people came over here, they had a choice. You know what I mean? It was like, hey, man, you just could all come. They had a choice. We didn't have a choice. That's the difference, B.
I hear you. I wish our people would learn how to solidify, instead of us finding ways to divide. I'm not talking about us being one with the white race. I'm talking about blacks being one with one another. Because it seems like in our culture, we always found reasons to divide, whether it's economics or whatever it may be. And you got people that be like, yellow-skinned niggas is out, dark-skinned niggas is in. What? That's like the stupidest thing I ever heard. So, in my point of view, until we learn how to love one another, man, we gonna always be. It ain't never gonna matter. You know, it won't matter.
I agree. But here we go. Check this out. Subject change. We're gonna go into this right now. by way of Complex Moves. Listen up, B.
For Complex News, I'm Natasha Martinez. BuzzFeed News published a damaging report for the NYPD early Monday morning. An anonymous source gave the outlet hundreds of internal files from the NYPD that showed officers committing fireable offenses like lying and brutally beating people, but still have kept their jobs. At least 319 officers from 2011 to 2015 have committed crimes that include lying, cheating, stealing, or assaulting New York City residents. The article breaks it down, showing that at least 50 employees lied on record or under an oath of some kind. 38 were found guilty of using excessive force, 57 have been driving under the influence, and several were accused of inappropriate behavior relating to sexual harassment, including one officer who touched and kissed a student while on duty at a school. The offenses are shocking, but what the NYPD chose to do with these officers is even more alarming. BuzzFeed writes that instead of those cops getting fired, the commissioner gave them dismissal probation, which means practically nothing, as officers continue to perform their jobs with the same salary. According to the report, which is the first of an ongoing investigation by BuzzFeed, many of the 319 officers still work for the NYPD today. The investigation outs the secrecy surrounding the internal misconduct of NYPD officers due to a law that shields those records from becoming public. The law also prevents citizens from being able to look up officers involved in their arrests to see if they have a history of lying or other abuses of power. BuzzFeed's report comes hot on the heels of another police misconduct scandal surrounding the Baltimore Police Department, which is being investigated for planting drugs and weapons, robbing citizens, and other crimes. And to put things into perspective, the NYPD scandal spans over half a decade. That's your news for now. For more on this and the rest of today's story, subscribe to Complex on YouTube. For Complex News, I'm Natasha Martinez.
I need your take, Paul.
Hey, I was just listening just a little while ago about a case up in Baltimore. I think she just talked about it, about those officers, eight of them, that were gang members, I believe. You know, I mean, that's been happening more frequently. That's like since 90-something, that's been having police officers that are being gang members as well, or working with the gang. They took the police officer in Baltimore that was about to rat one of those other, not rat, I wouldn't say that, about to give evidence. He was about to testify against them. They found him dead. He was shot. And they tried to make it like it was a suicide. It wasn't. It was a hit. So, whoa, I mean, countrywide, man. We got bad police officers, as well as good police officers. Somebody was telling me about some of the incidences out here in New Kensington with these officers. So, I mean, no matter what, you know, you got good and you got bad. That's just, that's life. But see, beings as such, You can't be killing for you, police officers. They're law enforcement officers, and they're due respect, so to speak. I mean, that job got to be, that's one of the hardest jobs. I don't wish that job on my, what's the enemy for real? Because you got to make sure you have the public's trust in this hard-neck climate where you have colleagues that aren't above board. So, even if you are, sometimes it's hard. Well, that's my take on it.
That's the only thing I wanted to get was a hot take, because my thing was, you follow the Alex Jones stuff, the police state stuff, you know what I mean, and things of that nature. I just wanted to get your hot take. Is it... was Alex Jones right? Is it heating up, or is this just another precaution from the NYPD just, you know, protecting their own?
Yeah. Most patriots trying to protect their own. They always rally around their officers, even when they're in the wrong.
Somebody gave a perspective to me one time and said, the biggest gang, and I'm sure, I've heard rappers say it too, a lot of them, is the police force. What's your take on it? Because after
the biggest what?
Like I said, the biggest gang.
The biggest
on
the biggest
planet.
Gang is police. Yeah. You know why?
Because according to that, because hold on, let me say it. Because according to that, it's just like that sounds like gang material. We don't snitch on each other. We look out for each other. You've seen how the guys kind of got like a paid leave, basically, or a slap on the hand. You know what I'm saying? Is it not like gang culture, what you think?
Yeah. It is. I mean, when you're law enforcement in Pittsburgh, you're law enforcement. Philly, you're law enforcement in D.C. And you're law enforcement in the Midwest as well as in the West. So all that is connected. So, yeah, they'd be the biggest gang. Not so much in the world, but they, you know, in this country, police officers will be the biggest gang. Because
they have police officers.
Huh?
They have a fraternal order of police. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
All those connected, and when, like, say if a cop gets killed in the line of duty, there's, like, if you watch it on the news, there's a lot of police officers, like, you know what I mean? I was in Florida when a guy got into it with the police. I mean, there was a 3-day thing about this police officer's funeral, and I mean, there was police officers from all over the place.
When this last officer,
just like you said, this we're not bashing police here. We're just throwing something out there.
Because there are some good police officers. All police officers aren't bad police officers.
That's correct.
There's some police officers that all we're trying to do is go out there, put their hours in, and get home to their family. You know, but you do have some that take their power to their head, some of them, you know, their authority, let's put it like that. Some people don't know how to handle authority. They don't. You know? But at the same token, though, our communities, period, got to start being more accountable for who we be allowing to police us. We just don't give anybody a badge and don't recognize if this person is rap right or not. We do. We stick a badge on him, put him out there. That don't work. But there's a lot of communities that do that. And then when hell breaks loose because of this individual, then the singers start to point. I got to stop. I got to start being like, you know, making sure before these people get in the streets, that they're rational, that they can, you know, truly do the job. But they're not going out there with their own agenda, so to speak. Because that's what happens. A lot of them come out the military and they get jobs in a police force. And some of them have their own agendas. They got to stop.
And I want to ask you a question. Because my thing is this, and that is true. A lot of these guys come out the military, and they're not really pretty much qualified for nothing except security work. You know what I mean? And my thing is this. I'm a guy that likes the fact that they say that, you know what, if there's going to be police, at least let them be from that hometown where they're from. You know what I'm saying? Whereas they kind of have a connection with the neighborhood instead of some, I don't know, some alleged or possible steroid goon coming back from war, you know what I mean? And he's in the community and he's treating people like civilians and not citizens.
Say it again?
I said, my concern is this about that is that I would like police to be from the town that the actual police, because you can't, just like you said, there's a lot of guys coming from home from war, and they only thing they're really qualified to do is, you know, security work or thing, and things of that nature. So I would rather have a guy from my town be a police officer than some goon who doesn't know the community this year to try to is treating the people like treating people like civilians and not citizens.
Yeah. Because if they're not from that town, they don't really have sense of the people of the community because they don't know you. You know.
Right.
It's almost like
everybody knows the local drunk. It's like,
yeah.
So everybody just like that local police officer might just give the local drunk a ride home because they know he's the local drunk. They grew up around him and know who he is. The other guy that's not from here, he might take that personal.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And say, well, you're not supposed to be drunk on the streets, but this is the local drunk, man. This guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, see, that's like the a cop from your community run up behind you, run the place, come to the window, and say, "Oh, Smoke, where are you going? Come, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go this way.
Yeah.
Go that way. I'll never see you again tonight."
Go this way. Yeah, I mean, that actually happened to me before on some local shit, you know what I mean? I was a little tipsy locally. And it's like, man, you're a block away. Just go home, Smoke.
Yeah. Whereas if it was somebody that didn't know you, he'd be like,
yes.
I don't care. I don't care.
On the floor.
Yeah. Exactly. Because that's how it rolls like that. Yep. He'd be like, I don't know you from a can of paint.
Yeah. Because, you know, it is what it is. You know.
And you know better. You know more. You know better than me. It would be nice to be. That's not always what you know, but who you know.
I can agree with that. I can definitely agree with that. But I definitely, you know, what I'm saying definitely wanna. I'm having a segue here, and it, you know when they. Have little segments, and I was looking at a thing. Hold on, this is the funniest thing I've probably heard. Because I want to lighten it up now, and this is by way of, I don't know if this is real or not, but this is the funniest thing I've seen. And this happened in Boston, according to this. I mean, there's a lot of articles out there you read. You know what I mean, and it's funny, and it could be fake news, it could be funny. There's mug shots up there, and again, we'll be going visual here shortly. People, don't worry about it. I'm working out kinks. I gotta get myself a new computer. You know what I'm saying? My processor is kind of trash. You know what I'm saying? So we'll be going here visual here shortly, but out of Boston, Massachusetts, man. Check us out, Therapy. And the headline is Crime Gang Suspected of 55 Break-ins. Out of break-ins. This is out of Boston. Check this out, okay? Three members of the so-called Irish Mob Midgets of Boston-based criminal organization composed of people of short stature have been arrested this morning, reports the Boston Chronicle. Listen, did you hear that? Say that one more time. Hold on. Hold on. Let me do this. Yeah. Says this. This is the headline, right? Members. I can't even get this out. Is that a Boston? Boston. Members of a midget crime gang suspected of 55.
Shut up. Shut up.
I'm giving you a headline. Boston, Massachusetts. Three members of the so-called Irish mob midgets. A bunch. A Boston-based criminal organization composed of people of short stature have been arrested this morning, reports the Boston Chronicle. Okay, and it goes on. Security cameras.
Stop laughing.
It goes on. Security camera footage shows three suspects during a home break-in, which intruders entered the house through a pet door.
What's she doing?
What's that?
What did you say he was doing?
It says security camera footage shows three suspects during a home break-in in which the intruders entered the house through a pet door.
Oh, wow.
Dang. Hold on.
Seems not
authorities also believe. Hold on. Or authorities also believe the crime organization can be behind as 55 other similar break-ins in the region. You know what I mean? And it goes on to say, although the Irish mob midgets officially describe themselves as a nonprofit motorcycle enthusiast group for small people of the Boston area, several high profile members of the organization have been arrested in the past years on charges of drug trafficking, arson, and aggravated.
It's crazy. Hey, man, just gotta get this, huh? Would you date a midget woman? yeah, let's think about that one.
I don't know. I mean, I'm always the guy that subscribes to you can't pick who you fall in love with. So, I can't say yeah.
You get a chance, pull up, Little Women of
We all have a prototype. You know what I'm saying, of what you would want, but you can't pick who you fall in love with. So, therefore, it'd be out the realm of possibility, because you can't. If I ran into a midget, and we click, I guess.
All right. Like you said, if we click, she'd have to be fine for you, though. There's some fine midget women, bull. There's some fine midget women out there. I'm like, I don't know where y'all done come from. But they out there.
I am not. I am not.
What?
Trying. I'm not trying to have.
But they want to have that midget.
I'm absolutely not going to have midget talk with you, man.
Hey, shit. I hear you.
I have midget talk. Actually, we got, to tell you the truth, we got everything that I wanted to talk about out there, all the little points that I wanted to get on. I mean, we still got about 20 minutes left in the show. I mean, if you want to go ahead and have a little bit of a lesson. You know what I mean?
No, I just don't talk,
but at the end of the day, we can wrap it up and
It's all good. I like about the school shoot.
Yeah, we pretty much nailed the show. You know what I mean? I think that was one of our better ones. So, we got this. I laid it off with the little, with your groove right here. You know what I'm saying? All right, bro.
Buddy.
Wow.
I'm out.